Hi, good morning, Boker Tov. Okay, we're getting closer to Shavuos, we're getting closer to Matan Torah. Well, that's the thing about their own personal Kabbalah's Matan Torah. It's not a static, no thank you, Matan. It's not a static Yom Tov. It's a constant reassessing of your Chelek in Torah, or your attitudes to Torah. It's like the Rosh Hashanah of Torah. Think about how you're succeeding in Torah. Remember this for the rest of your life. Shavuos is probably the Yom Tov that's most vastly different between people who are engaged in Talmud Torah and people who aren't. There's an old joke. I know this is a little bit off road here. Someone once said, Shavuos is his favorite holiday. Why is Shavuos his favorite holiday? Because on Rosh Hashanah, you can't eat when you want because the davening is so long. So you're a little limited. On Pesach, you can't eat what you'd like because you can only eat Pesach big food. On Sukkot, you can't eat where you'd like because you're limited to the Sukkah. In Yom Kippur, you can't eat at all. On Shavuos, you can eat whatever you want. Milchiks, fleishiks, whenever you want, davening, sure, wherever. Chas v'shalom. But what it demonstrates, every joke has some truth that it demonstrates, that there's no mitzvahs in Shavuos. Where are the mitzvahs? So in theory, you could just spend your whole day eating. So Tikkun Leil Shavuos, which is a minhag, has filled that gap. It's not a mitzvah. I mean, it's, of course, a mitzvah to learn Torah, but it's a minhag. The problem is, if you're not engaged in Talmud Torah and in serious pursuit of Avodas Hashem, then Shavuos can become a day of cheesecake or an Israel day of nature walks, because you aren't anchored to mitzvahs. You can't escape the mitzvahs of Pesach. If you face Pesach, you face mitzvahs. You face mitzvahs and sukkos, and they anchor your attention. The ritual here, the ritual. It's sort of about a cheshbon nefesh of Talmud Torah, your views of Torah, your views of mitzvahs. Anyway, so I know we got into that. But very interesting midrash. Where is it here? Yeah, something about, I've spoken about it before, but I'll attack it from a different angle. Umis Yashev Libo B'Talmudo. One of the Kinyani HaTorah, Misyashev Libo B'Talmudo. What does that mean, Misyashev Libo B'Talmudo? I think there are two parts of this trait. One is Misyashev. Part of the internet has made us all very, very quick readers. We read very quickly. In our day, I don't know if it's still around, but there used to be speed reading courses. Teach you how to read quickly. And because we're scrolling, so our minds are racing ahead of our cognition. Our eyes are reading very, very quickly. And there are certain types of works in general. You have to read very, very slow. Tabloids, you can read very quick because they're empty of information. But there's just some works that are dense. Poetry, for example. Outside of the world of Torah, you have to read it slow and savor it and read it again. When's the last time you read a text two or three times? And where it says about Megillah Esther, Chayav Adam Likras, Megillah Bayam B'Lashon Osa B'Layla. You have to read it twice because it's so cryptic. And the twists and turns and the shifts are so subtle that until you read it a second time, it's called, actually in the literary world, it's called hermeneutics. Where you read a text a second time, and then the second time you're informed by the first time. There's a whole field of how to read texts. We just say, you pick up a text and you read it. Torah is very dense, and especially the complex logical systems of Shas. And just, I think that our world is very speedy. We're reading a lot. There's so many svarim today. Remember, the Rav would come to Shir with a Gemara and a Rambam. And 500 years ago, you didn't have this explosion of svarim. So on the one hand, it's wonderful. On the other hand, like even today, Reb Chaim's revolution in the middle of the 19th century led to this explosion of svarim. And there's so many out. You could just learn Bava Metzia and stack your desk with great people who have written great shiurim. But sometimes the more you read, the less you understand. You're just too busy reading rather than letting it settle, thinking, absorbing, questioning. You have to really slow your reading in general when it comes to, well, I know a lot of boys that say you read it by Sachs. So you read by Sachs very, very slowly. Or, not slowly, but you have to repeat. You have to read it twice. Because it's more poetry than it is prose. And it's too easy to read. Some things are too hard to read. Like, let's say, Nechabalibus, read it very, very slowly. By Sachs, you read it too quickly because it's so eloquent and it's so fluid. To read it again and think about what point is he making. So suddenly when you're learning Shas, to really slow it down, read a little bit less, even if you read fewer Rishonim, fewer Achronim, but you think about them and understand them, you're Misyashev. Now Misyashev doesn't only have to take place in the Beis Medrash. I find that my best learning, my best understanding of a sugya takes place out of the Beis Medrash. where I'm taking a step out and I'm just thinking about, well, what does a b'chanan really mean? Or how do I really understand that sugya? Very famous Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos wants to know. Tells us in Brachos at Samachom and Beis. Tells us in Brachos in the first prayer. How come you don't make a bracha every time you leave the Beis Medrash? You're mafsik b'limuda. You're mafsik a mitzvah. When you leave the sukkah, you make a bracha upon re-entry. You leave the Beis Medrash. You suspend your Torah learning and come back. So you should make a new bracha at Torah. So Tassus provides a very, very ambiguous language that could be interpreted two ways. Tassus says you never really stop learning. There's never really a hefsek. What do you mean? You never stop learning? You walk out to business, you walk out to work, you become a doctor. So part of it is that you're applying the will of Torah. And applying the will of Torah is the end point, not the only end point, but one of the end points of Talmud Torah. It's Kiyum HaMitzvos, living a life of Torah. So you're just applying everything you study. So even if you're not in front of a sefer, you're not walking away from Torah. The famous Rav Kook used to say, if you're learning Torah and you see a beautiful tree, Chai ben Asho, Mafsik b'limud. Is that really true? Do you feel as if this is a crime? I mean, some things just don't settle naturally in our hearts. You feel it's really a crime if you look at a tree when you're learning. So Rav Kook felt that if you see it as something different from your learning, if you see nature and you're not able to trace it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's really a Mafsik b'limud. Then it's something completely deviant. And then, of course, you're chayav misa, not because you took off a moment from Talmud Torah, but because you're not able to trace, not chayav misa, but it's a serious crime, because you're not able to trace the beauty in nature back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back to your Torah. But the literal reading of that Tosfos in Brachos, the literal reading is that even when you're leaving, you're not in front of a sefer. It's always good. There are many types of learning, Erev Shavuos. One type of learning in front of a sefer, reading a word, understanding what it means, writing it down. Another one is just thinking and letting it brew and letting it marinate. And I don't want to give shir. I hate giving shir unless I have 24 hours to immerse myself in the sugya. And how many of those hours do I spend here writing, reading? How many of those hours do I just spend in the car, walking, just thinking about, well, how should I say it? What does it mean? You should always try to keep Torah in your mind, even when you're not in the Beis Medrash. You read a Rashi, you read a Mishnah. Think about it. Let it brew. Let it settle. Be misyashev. Now, the second part of this phrase is, we'd say, okay, be misyashev. Learn slow, learn deliberately, but be misyashev belibo. I wouldn't think that your heart plays a role in how you learn. You think your head plays a role, or certainly your heart plays a role in the drive and the desire, as we've spoken about before. If you really desire Torah, you'll learn more. If you really desire Torah, you'll retain it more. But why would your heart play that role? In ultimately, the heart is the seat of intuition. And at some point, and this is also a lost art today because there's so many svarim, there's a depersonalization of learning. I don't think people are asking, well, what do I think is the more correct approach? Not because you're trying chas v'shalom to disrespect or to exclude the other approach, but until you insert your own intuition and your own inclination and your own voice, it's always going to be external to you. There's always going to be this pshat and this pshat and this pshat. And there's no, and until it's personalized, there's no context or contrast or, well, this is what he felt. Until you insert your personal intuition, it's just going to be a lineup of ideas. Once you personalize Torah, again, don't personalize Pesach. Don't go positing for yourself. Don't go. But until you're able to say, you know what, this Rashba makes a lot of sense. I don't fully understand Tosis. That could be a very respectful and reverential statement. Now let me try to understand him a little bit more. Until then, it's just going to be disassociated, disengaged. It's almost as if you're a computer. This idea, this idea, this idea. And there's no ability to contrast between them. There's no ability to integrate them. There's a lot of that happening today, which is just so much information overflow. I hear a lot of shirim. He says this, he says this, he says this, he says this. A lot of daf yomi shirim. They don't really have time. I understand that. They're just rifling through a vast, vast body of information rather than saying, well, this is a little different than what he says. And this makes more sense. It doesn't make as much sense, not chas v'shalom in a disrespectful way. That's the first stage of inquiry. So there has to be some of your lave, not just the emotional investment, but the lave is a seed of intuition in order to personalize so that it burns very deeply within you, and in order to start the process of sifting through information, of ordinating, not organizing, ordinating what makes most sense, what is the chiddush in Tosfos, where is he coming from. So I think this is a very important statement in the modern world in which there's just so many shiurim to read and so many svarim out there. It's not always true that the more svarim you have open and the more text you're reading, the deeper you're learning. Sometimes you just have to read a little bit less and think a little bit more, which is becoming less and less common. Okay, I think George Bernard Shaw was an Irish playwright, very witty. He once said, most people think once or twice a year. I've made an international reputation for myself by thinking once or twice a week. So we like to think, we think a little bit more actively than George Bernard Shaw, but this was about 100 years ago, so imagine what he would have said today. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome, welcome.